could do to earn it. And God still loved us. He poured out His grace upon us. As the choir comes down, I invite you to take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 2. Luke's Gospel. We'll begin reading in chapter number 2. You'll see we'll actually begin reading in verse number 6 here in Luke chapter number 2. I'm excited for tonight. I hope each one of you can come out, and if you can, call somebody and invite them to come out. Tell them we're having food after. And they'll be here. And I heard somebody's bringing banana pudding. So they'll definitely be here. Amen. All right. Luke chapter number 2. We'll begin reading today in verse number 6. This is a very familiar text, of course, as we approach December and Christmas here. So verse number 6 tells us, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she, which is Mary, should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, the Lord hath made known unto us. They came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." Father, thank You for Your Word, and I pray that You'll bless the reading of it. God, we know there's power in the Word of God, so Lord, I pray that You'll use it to penetrate our hearts today. And God, just use it to profit our lives and draw us closer to Yourself. God, we thank You, and I pray, God, that You would forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of myself. God, I realize today I can't do this on my own. So Lord, I pray that You'll give us the strength that we need to preach Your Word today. Just somebody will receive a blessing from it. We love You today in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a man that was once asked, what is the greatest argument that Christianity is real? What is the greatest argument for Christianity? And his answer was awesome. He said, the best argument for Christianity is Christians. He said, when they have joy, when they have certainty, and when the Christ has come to live on the inside of their heart. What an answer. He was then asked this question, what is the greatest argument against Christianity? You know what he said? Christians. When Christians are somber and joyless, when Christians are self-righteous and smug, then Christianity dies a thousand deaths. You know what he was saying? He was saying the greatest argument for Christianity in our world today is you and I. You see, when people see us, they ought to see something that they won't. We ought to have joy overflowing so much out of our lives that they say, hey, I want what they have. See, when the world looks at us, they shouldn't look and say, well, they're just acting and doing the same things I do. I don't need what they have. You know what I believe? I believe God's people ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth. I believe God's people ought to be the most joyful people in the world. I don't know whoever came up with the idea that there's a God in heaven who wants His children to be miserable all the time, Johnny. Calvin, you've got two sons, don't you? Would you like to see them depressed, or would you like to see them happy? He wants to see them happy. So why in the world would there be a good Father in heaven who wants to have His children sad and just down all the time? That's not true. God wants His children to be happy. God wants His children to be filled with joy. people came up with the idea in the early centuries that God literally wanted His children to be miserable all the time. So you know what they would do? They would starve themselves for weeks at a time and say, I'm winning the favor of God by starving myself. Praise God, I don't believe that. They would literally put nails in their shoes and walk around and saying, I'm suffering, therefore God is pleased with me. But if they would read the Bible, they'll find that God does not want His children miserable all the time. But the Bible says, sing unto the Lord with a joyful heart. John said, I write these things unto you that your joy might be full. Jesus said, I give you this that your joy might remain in you. The Bible tells us time and time again, there is a God in heaven who wants His children to be filled with joy. Amen. But you know what's easy in this world? As Christians, to lose our joy. That is the very tactic of the enemy, the adversary, the devil himself. He cannot take our salvation, but there is one thing he is very good at doing, and that is stealing our joy. Because if the devil can take our joy, he can almost take our very life. Because when you don't have joy, quite frankly, you just don't feel like living anymore. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength, and when you don't have that, you don't have the strength to go on, to wake up, to do it another day. So the devil wants to steal our joy. That is his main tactic amongst Christians, is to steal our joy. And I'm here to tell you, the devil will come to you most of the time in the middle of the night because he's a coward. He will come begin to tell you, why don't you look around when you go out into the world? Everybody else is happy except you. You're the only one who does not have any joy. Look at everybody else around you smiling, laughing. They're joyful all the time, and yet here you are down and depressed all the time. Just running his mouth. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, doing all the right things, reading your Bible, coming to church. There are going to be times in this fallen world that you and I lose our joy. Every single one of us has lost our joy at times. That's the bad news. But I'm here to tell you in our text, there's some real good news. Because you see, the angel showed up to these shepherds that were in Bethlehem and he said, hey, listen, I have got good news that brings great joy to all people. To all people. What was the good news? It was the fact that Christ Jesus was born in Bethlehem today. And you see, I believe as soon as the shepherds heard the fact that there was a Savior that was born, Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, all of a sudden they just felt like singing. Their heart began to rejoice knowing that a Savior had been born, and joy just filled their heart. And you see, not only did joy fill the shepherd's heart, but you'll find very next that the angels in heaven, there was just one angel that showed up, but all of a sudden when the angel announced that Christ had been born, the Bible tells you that now a multitude of angels shows up praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. Jesus has been born. You see, Jesus' birth brought joy to the shepherds, but it also brought joy to all the angels in heaven. That tells you that the birth of Jesus can bring joy today, 2,000 years later. It's not just an old story that we read every Christmas. I'm telling you, this story of the birth of Jesus Christ can help you and I in our lives today. Because it can still bring joy to you and me. There's bad news that you and I can lose our joy in this world, but man, there's some good news right here, is the fact that Jesus has been born. And by the way, He's still alive. And I want to show you today just three things about how the birth of Jesus brings joy to our lives. Number one, I want you to see the birth of Jesus meant God was with man. I want you to look at verse number 11. We're going to draw all 3 points from that. Verse number 11, the last two words in verse number 11 says, the Lord, Christ the Lord, meaning God is now with man. You see, this baby that was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, whose name was Jesus, was no normal baby. Like the babies are born every single day in this country, but Jesus was no normal baby. The angel announced that this one who has been born was God Himself. And you see, that's what makes Christmas so much different than any other baby being born, because this was not just a normal baby, a normal man. This was God Himself taking on human flesh to come and live amongst us. And if that don't blow your mind, I don't know what will. the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ was when He literally stepped down from heaven and took on a human body like you and I have, so that one day He could eventually go to the cross and die for our sins. God loved you and I that much that He would step down to this wicked, sinful world and go through it for me and you. But you see, the world does not see Jesus as God. That is one thing. They see Jesus as just a normal man. You know, there is one thing that from the time that I was 3 years old to the time that I'm now 26 years old that I did not like being called, and that's a liar. If I was called a liar at 3 years old, I was going to do two things, cry or smack somebody. If I'm called a liar at 26, I'm going to either cry or smack somebody. But you see, if you don't see Jesus as the Son of God, you're going to have to call a lot of people liars. You see, in our text today, this angel said that He is the Lord, therefore He is God. You're going to have to look at this angel and say, you're a liar. You're also going to have to look at the angel Gabriel and say, you're a liar. Gabriel showed up to Mary and said, the son that you are going to have is the Son of the Highest, the Son of the Most High God, therefore He's God. You're going to have to tell Gabriel, you're a liar. All the angels know that Jesus is God. You're going to have to tell them they lied. But you know who else? The demons in hell all know exactly who Jesus is. When they saw Jesus in Gadara, there was a man that was possessed with demons, and the demons spoke through that man and said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? They know He's the Son of God. They just don't receive Him. They just don't submit to Him. But you're also going to have to call God Himself seated on the throne a liar, because He said, behold, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And there ain't nobody going to be able to stand before the throne of God and say, you lied. Because the Bible says God cannot lie. Therefore, Jesus is God wrapped up in the flesh. He is God. He is the Lord. You say, what does Jesus being God have to do with me having joy? Why is that important to you and I having joy? It's important because God is the very source of joy. And unless you have the Son of God living on the inside of you, let me say this, you cannot and will not have joy. Unless you have Jesus, you cannot and will not have joy. It's impossible because Jesus is the very source of joy. And so often the reason you and I don't have joy is because we're looking in the wrong place. Monica told me the other day, we was at home and she said, I want you to go up to my closet and look for this particular item. If you've ever been in a woman's closet, you're going to be in there 3 hours looking for an item. So I walk up there and I begin to look around and I say, my soul. And I just begin to look. And I see 3,000 pairs of shoes on the floor. I say, how in the world am I going to find this item amongst all these shoes? So I just get to looking. I say, I got to find it though. So I just get to looking. About 30 minutes later, honey, I can't find what I'm looking for. And I knew if she came up there and found it, Justin was in big trouble. And here she comes walking up the stairs. Oh, my Lord, I got to find this item. And all of a sudden, I turn around and there she is, holding up that item. She said, you was looking in the wrong place, dummy. You see, sometimes the reason we can't find joy is we are looking in the wrong place. There was a woman who came to the well in John chapter number 4. She had tried to find joy everywhere in this world. As a matter of fact, I believe she tried to find joy in the men that she had amongst her. The Bible says she had 5 husbands, and the man that she was living with now was not her husband. She tried to find joy in her relationships with men. But that day when she came to the well, she came all alone. She came lonely, and she came absolutely miserable. But for some reason, Brother Johnny, when she walked away from that well, she had joy unspeakable and full of glory, because that day she met a man sitting on the well named Jesus who gave her the joy she was looking for. You see, she was looking in the wrong place all along, but she came and she found Jesus, and all of a sudden she went away and said, I found what I've been looking for. You see, this world, you can find joy in a lot of places, but can I tell you, there's not a joy that you can find that's like the joy that Jesus can give you. Amen. But you know, even for Christians, we still look for joy in the wrong place too. The world looks for joy at the bar, in the bottle, all these places. I'm telling you, you can find more joy in Jesus than any of those things. But for those of us who have Jesus, sometimes we still look in the wrong place. Sometimes we look to our job to give us joy, to just get away from everything. Sometimes we look to our family and our relationships with people to bring us joy. And sometimes you even look for church and activities to bring you joy. And all those things can bring you joy, but the ultimate joy for the Christian is a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, I can't stand here and tell you that I have a relationship with Michael Jordan. Why? I've never talked to him personally, and he's never talked to me personally. A relationship means you have to communicate. You can't have a relationship with somebody if you don't talk to them or listen to them. It's impossible. So for the Christian, the greatest thing that you can do to have a relationship with Jesus is communicate with Him. And so often that's the very thing we don't do. You see, you can hear Jesus anytime you want to. Just open up this Bible. He speaks in every single verse. You can talk to Jesus anytime you want to by faith because He's given us access to Him by His grace. And I'm convinced of this. You can take this as you will. But I think that it is absolutely impossible for a born-again Christian to have joy with a closed Bible. This is what Martin Luther said. He said, "The soul can do without everything except the Word of God." The soul can do without everything except the Word of God. I want you to think about that. Our body can only last a few weeks without food. If we don't give any food to our body will begin to weaken, our body will begin to go down, and if we don't give it food, eventually our body will die. Martin Luther is saying your soul is that very same way, and unless you feed it the Word of God, it'll get weak, it'll deteriorate, and it just goes down. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest joys you'll ever find is opening up this Bible and reading it. It's talking to Jesus on a daily basis. You know, we could say we're born again, but true joy is found in a daily relationship, walk, communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, His birth gave us that opportunity to have a relationship with God through Him. So I want you to see that this morning, that man, joy is not found in all these other things. Joy for the Christian is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Not only, number one, God was with man. That's what the birth of Christ meant. But number two, the birth of Christ meant that hope was restored. It meant that hope was restored. You'll see that word in verse number 11, a Savior. A Savior was one who was supposed to bring hope to the entire nation. And that's what the birth of Christ meant, that hope was now about to be restored. Now, I talked to one of my friends about a month ago. He was at the lowest point he's ever been in his life. And I remember asking him this question. I said, what do you feel like right now? What do you feel? He said, "Justin, I just feel like nothing's ever going to get better." That's what he told me. He said, "The one thing that's got me so down is I feel like it will never get better." You see what just happened? He lost hope that it was going to get better. I don't know about you. I can speak for myself. I'm the biggest hypochondriac in this room. If I get a cold and I start sneezing and sniffling, I think I'm going to be sick for the next 60 years. I'm going to just have to deal with the cold for the next 60 years because it's never going to get away. But one of the biggest things that you and I lose our joy over is the fact we lose our hope that our life is ever going to get better, that our circumstances will ever get better. How many times have you asked that question, when is this ever going to get better? And you see, when you begin to give up hope, man, hope is so powerful. Hope can make you do a lot of things, but the loss of hope is even more powerful than hope itself. Because when you lose hope, you just want to quit. You say, what's the use? It's never going to get better. There's no hope of this ever getting better, this ever increasing, whatever. We lose hope, and it just makes you say, well, what's the point of even going on? And when you lose your hope, I'm telling you, you lose your joy. And that's when the same devil comes and whispers, just quit. Because you've been going for so long, you think God is on your side? It's never going to get better. It's been 6 months, it's been 2 years, and it still ain't got better. Stop trusting God. It's over. That's what the devil says. But I've got news for the devil this morning. It ain't over till God says it's over. Can I tell you, I don't have the last word. The doctor does not have the last word. The devil does not have the last word. God Almighty still has the last word in everything. See, Mary and Martha thought it was over when they laid their brother in the tomb. But Jesus was not done. He said, it's not over until I say it's over. And He came and said, Lazarus, get up. See, it wasn't over because Jesus still had the last word. Can I tell you, in our text today, there was a country of Israel that kept on asking for centuries, is this ever going to get better? See, for 600 years they had been enslaved to somebody, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and now in Luke chapter number 2, they're slaves to Rome. And Rome is just completely oppressing them. And they're thinking, hold on, God promised that He would take care of us. God promised that He would send a Savior. Will this ever get better? And little did they know that one night in Bethlehem, the angel would show up and say, I know you think it'll never get better. I know you think that all hope is lost. But tonight in Bethlehem, hope has been born. See, when Jesus was born, hope was brought forth into this world for all nations, for all people. It don't matter what color you are, Jesus is hope for you. And you see, they were asking that question. Man, is this ever going to get better? And right now in our country, I'm asking the same question. Is this ever going to get better? Our politicians have gone absolutely insane. The news media has gone absolutely insane. The world hates Christians. The world hates the Bible. The world hates the church. And when you look around, you're saying, it's never going to get better. It looks like all hope is gone. But that's our problem. Don't look around. Start looking up. You look around, it looks like hope is gone. You look up, I'm telling you, hope is on the way. Because the same way He came the first time is the same way He's going to come the second time. One preacher said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. There's hope that's on the way. It may look like this country is never going to get better. Can I tell you, Jesus is still in control. And God is still on the throne. And things are looking up for the child of God. Stop looking around. Because things aren't getting better around here. But there's coming a day things are going to get a whole lot better. When Jesus splits that sky. Things are looking up for the child of God. And that's what the birth of Christ did. It brought hope to people who absolutely had no hope of things ever getting better. I'll tell you thirdly, and I'm done. Not only did the birth of Christ meant God was with man, hope was restored, but the birth of Christ had immediate consequences right there and right now, because the Bible says, this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, when the angels came and they announced the good news of Christ's birth, the angel did not look at the shepherds and say, now hold on, this good news that I'm bringing to you won't bring joy for a few years. They said, this good news that I'm bringing to you brings great joy right here, right now, to all people, including you and I 2,000 years later. And let me ask you something. What is keeping you from having joy? What is keeping you from having joy? You say, if this would get better, I'd have joy. If my circumstances would just get back to the way they were, I'd have joy. If my health would get back to the way it was, I'd just have joy. If this would just get better, I could have joy again. Let me tell you something. What if I told you, despite all those things, and if that thing never gets better, you can still have joy? What if I told you that? You'd say, I'd take it right here and right now. Because the fact of the matter is, in this world that we live in, the truth is, some things just may not get better. There are some things that may not get better. You know, I've learned a little bit, not much. But you know what I've learned? I can't fix everything. Anybody else learn that? Raise your hand. We can't fix everything. And you can't make everything better. And if we're waiting on things to get better to say, I'll have joy then, you ain't going to ever find it. But can I tell you, in a personal relationship with Jesus, no matter what circumstance you are, no matter what you are going through, you can have joy right in the midst of it. You see, joy is not based on what's going on around us anyway. Joy is based on the person who lives on the inside of us. And there are people sitting in this congregation this morning, and you've asked that question time and time again. Man, is this ever going to get better? Am I going to have to wake up every single morning and deal with this the rest of my life? Is this ever going to get better? And you know what? I don't have the answer for you. I do not know if it's going to get better. I don't know if it's going to get worse, but there's a God in heaven who does. And the fact that God knows what we don't, it helps me. And I'm glad He sees what we don't. But don't wait around for things to get better to say, man, if this gets better, I'll have joy. Because you have a supernatural person living on the inside of you as a Christian who can give you joy no matter what's going on out here. You say, Justin, I've been looking for joy in everything in this world. I've tried the drugs, I've tried the beer, I've tried the men, I've tried the women, and for some reason it just don't fill me up. Can I tell you, that stuff can fill you up for a few hours. But the next morning you're going to have to wake up and get some more of it. It'll never fill you up completely. But there is a man who, when you invite him into your heart, you will find a joy that this world cannot give you. But there are some Christians sitting in here this morning that say, I have Jesus, I have the Lord, but I've lost my joy. What do I do? Why don't you come down here and let somebody pray with you? Why don't you come down here and say, I don't know how to get it back. I don't know what to do, but I want my joy back. I want my life back. I don't know how to give it to you. But there's a Lord in heaven who does. Call upon His name, and He'll give you what this world cannot give you. Don't go to the world for joy. Don't look in the wrong place. Because there's a man saying, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I will give you everything you need. That is the birth of Christ. Man, it meant we can have a relationship with God. It meant that hope is going to be restored one day. And it meant that right here and right now, 2,000 years later, in this very hour, no matter what you're going through, you can find joy in the Lord Jesus Christ and find peace and find exactly what you're looking for in Him. If we could all stand to our feet, musicians, you can come. If you're looking for joy this morning, don't look for it. Look for Jesus, and He'll give it to you. If you've never accepted Christ, come right down here, and I'll be glad to take this Bible and show you how you can know you can be saved today. But today, if you're a Christian, you say, Justin, I've lost my joy. Come down here and pray. Say, God, I've lost it. But You are the source of joy. You are the giver of life. And I trust You by faith that I can have joy again. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that 2,000 years ago You sent Your Son to be born into this world so that we might have salvation, the greatest gift. And God, I pray for one person who may have walked in here today that doesn't know that when they walk out of this place, if they were to die, that they'd be in heaven. God, I pray that You will save them by Your grace today. And I pray that they'll come down here and receive Christ. And God, most of all, I pray for those people that don't have joy, just lost it in this world. I pray they'll find a relationship with You again. And God, that they will just come to You and You'll restore the joy of their salvation. Father, we thank You and we love You today. In Jesus' name, amen.